Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Why does diversity, inclusion, and equity matter? Let's go in depth with Professor Paulina Mena, Faculty Fellow for Diversity and Inclusion at Central College. Professor Mena, you've accepted a new role here at Central. Why don't you explain it to us?
Yeah, so I am the Fellow for Diversity and Inclusion and Equity at Central. So my role is to help faculty be more inclusive in the classroom.
And faculty aren't being inclusive?
Yeah, actually, we are very inclusive to begin with because just our college setup allows us to do that. So pedagogy itself is not inclusive, but when you have a place where it's really focused on the students, where we have been using techniques of active learning, student-centered, for a long time, we already have a head start in that sense. But now we want to be more intentional because we need to increase, make sure that everybody here feels that they belong, because we want to fulfill our mission. This is really mission-driven work. Our mission is to educate our students and educate every single one of them. So if anybody leaves Central feeling that they weren't part of our college, that was a failure of our mission. So we want to make sure that we are focusing on each one of them.
But when you're dealing with diverse groups of people, you have to understand them, to appreciate them and to teach them and to learn alongside of them. And so is that your goal, to try to understand the different backgrounds people come from and make sure everybody gets the same shot at everything?
Exactly. That's what equity is about. And so they may not come here with the same background, with the same preparation, and we want to keep that in mind when we're thinking about advancing them. So it's not every kind of activity or learning pedagogy is going to be the same for everybody. So that's why we want to meet them where they are.
And it's for every student, every race, every ethnicity. It's everybody.
Right. So, for example, now we are doing a monthly seminar of inclusive pedagogy, and we kind of divide them in different sections, but we're always talking about the same thing. If we think of inclusivity or universal design, really it's just good teaching. And so that's why I think we have an advantage here, because something that's good for somebody that came a little behind is really going to be good for everybody. So one thing is to have, to teach them how to take notes and how to study, these skills that are going to be make you successful in every class. Those are not just good for somebody that came from a school that wasn't as good as, like an Iowa City or Pella school district. It will be good for everybody. Anybody that has some learning disabilities or just didn't come from a lot of preparation in their background. And so an example that we got from one of our a person that came to do a workshop for us is kind of like the cutouts in sidewalks. They're made originally and by law for people in wheelchairs, right, to get up and down. But now everybody uses them. So people with strollers or bikes or whatever. So that's the kind of thinking of inclusive teaching, that is something that you do to include everybody, really is for everybody. It's not for a particular group. So in our seminar that we're having every month, we're talking about race, but class, the importance of considering our students that are first generation, ableism, and the intersections of these things, with sex and being a gender and gender identity, all those things too, and how they all come together sometimes.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Professor Paulina Mena, Faculty Fellow for Diversity and Inclusion at Central College. And so how do you teach that? Just by experience? By exposing people to different positions? Well, let me give you an example. One time, one of the hospitals was having something about Alzheimer's, and wanted to illustrate why Alzheimer's patients sometimes become angry, and they put big fingers on me and glasses and and earphones with ringing noises and something that made my foot hurt and had me do certain chores. And all of a sudden, I was in the position of a simulated position of somebody with Alzheimer's, and it was enlightening. And so would we try to, do you try to do that kind of thing?
Kind of. I mean, not as experiential as that, but the foundation of this kind of pedagogy is to really understand the background, understand the barriers that different people may have, because it's easy to think of, and that's actually how I was thinking when I just started thinking about these things. What should I do? You know, because I didn't have preparation as a teacher. I had a little preparation as a teacher, but most faculty members don't. We study our area, and then we're thrown into teaching with really little or no formation on that sense. And I wanted to find, what should I do? Give me techniques. What do I do in the classroom? What activities do I do? And that's really the last thing that you have to think about, because before you need to understand what's going on, and from there you are able to adjust and do your activities and think of how you're going to enhance learning, knowing that background. And so you're limber, you know, so that you see your position as a teacher. You already have this power imbalance with your students, and where I come from and where they come from and how they all come from, it's going to be different in every classroom. So if I know more about the potential background of all my students, that I'll be better prepared to serve them than if I have some few techniques that I can deploy here and there.
You're sort of right in the middle, whether you want to be or not, of new kinds of culture wars where people, there's been legislation proposed to make it illegal for institutions of higher education, not here but elsewhere, not to have coursework in diversity, inclusion, equity, because they think it's divisive. I mean, that's not my perspective, but there's considerable critiques of it out there. What do you think of those critiques?
I think it's very unfortunate that things like this have been politicized. And I think that we have an advantage here at Central because we're a small community, that we get to know each other. We know faculty know each other very well, and we get to know our students very well, and that we're very community oriented. And also likely the background affiliation that we have with the religious organization, the RCA, all those things I think make us able to overcome those things, overcome the challenges of this being viewed as divisive, and instead just see a thing as equality of something that we need to do because everybody deserves a chance to be fulfilled and find happiness, and in the context of college, it's our mission to provide them all education. So it's part of what we say we do when a student enrolls here.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Professor Paulina Mena, Faculty Fellow for Diversity and Inclusion at Central College. Sort of a common thread through a lot of this stuff is racism and class and American history that not a lot of people are comfortable about. And it's also about maintaining power and not wanting to cede power. Like it's all a zero-sum game where we can't understand or appreciate each other as Americans if we look at our past in a critical way. How do you see all this fitting in?
It's all part of that, exactly. So we don't come here from nothing. We come from all the history of that what has made us what we are, put us in the positions that we are. And our students are currently extremely active in these kinds of things. For example, we have a group that was recently formed called the United Minority Alliance that you might think that it's just minorities, but really they have a huge number of students that are white, that are allies, that are very strong allies. And actually it was this group that petitioned to have MLK Day have a more significant observation of the day than we have historically had in the last few years in the memory of the students that are here now. And so we're going to be addressing those things as part of their petition that we, as faculty, voted to accept and have that. We're going to have an alternate day of learning. And instead of holding regular classes during that day, we will all meet to talk about other aspects of learning that have to do with MLK and his legacy. Another place where students have been super active is in athletics. Here, and you know, it's something I've seen at the national level, at professional, but also collegiate, and in our D3 schools. So, for example, it was students within. I believe it was in our conference, the women's soccer team started reading a statement before games in support of their student of their peers of color. And it snowballed into being a thing that was read in every game of every sport in the conference. And that has sparked us to actually leverage that. And one of our speakers that we want, our keynote speaker that we want for MLK Day, we want to focus on that, on the role of athletes in advancing civil rights. And in addition to that, we're going to have different aspects from different disciplines. So some faculty and students are going to lead discussions on MLK's anti-war legacy. Another one is going to focus on the role of MLK with the impact they have it has in Latino communities. Another will focus on what we're going to do in STEM. So in STEM we have a lot of work to do. I'm a biology professor, so several of us are going to get together and talk about environmental justice. MLK had to say a lot about that, and there's still a lot of progress that needs to be done. The same is reckoning with many of the people that are leaders, that are fathers of many disciplines that are racist, were racist, and what do we do with that legacy? This morning I heard a piece about Audubon and how they are changing the name of one chapter at least, but the whole national organization is also thinking about what to do when they're
named. Because he was a slave owner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But just a white supremacist all around.
Yeah.
So to discuss those things, to bring those up, and why is it that we still have this huge underrepresentation of women and minoritized people in our STEM, in our classrooms, and then at all levels that you see it?
Well, athletics is a good place to look, I think, because, I don't know, there's been one thing that we've been thinking about, and it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that pointed this out. I don't know if you read this or not, but he talked about, you know, the basketball great, he talked about how Colin Kaepernick was essentially booted from the NFL, was blacklisted for taking a knee in a silent protest, where now we have Aaron Rodgers, another quarterback, lying about being vaccinated and exposing people to COVID, and he's acting like he's being canceled. Well, he played over the weekend. Colin Kaepernick's career is over. And I don't think people think about that. There's something systemic about that, where one loses their career for a fairly benign kind of quiet protest, powerful but didn't hurt anybody, mm-hmm. or the other one
expose people.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to think about that, and we might not think about that. I wouldn't have put that together without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar writing about it. And so what you're trying to do is put this stuff together for all the students and the faculty, and where you're all doing that. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Exactly. And so have learning at the small scale, and it's, I think the misconception is that it's not blaming anybody for this. It's about moving forward and making things right. And I think that's where a lot of defensiveness comes from, that people feel like they are being blamed for things that they're not responsible for. But what we try to, you know, make people understand is our students understand is the history that has led to these imbalances in power that lead to these kinds of inequities. and perpetuating that imbalance in power. And there are people that don't want to release that power, but we have here the opportunity to, you know, with our students, we actually want them to be able to see other people's perspective, see what other people have lived through, why they've lived through those things, and teach them the empathy to work to make things right.
A little empathy goes a long way,
yeah,
doesn't
it? It's really a lot about empathy. And that's where it comes. Now we're thinking about our new core curriculum. We're redesigning it. We're at the beginning stages of this, but we know that it's going to be about the engaged citizen. So the whole core will be revolving around being an engaged citizen. And that's such a empathy is such an important part of being an engaged citizen. And so that's something that we develop it now during the core, but we want to be more intentional as we move forward with the new core.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I think one important thing to understand is that this is really about making things right, about justice. But also, even if this is not something that may not be top of mind for a lot of people, it should be top of mind for everybody because we have changing demographics. And if you think of beyond the United States, it's a very diverse world. And so if we want to be competitive at the national and the global level, what we have to do is make sure that our students are culturally competent. And what research has shown in many, many different ways is that diversity actually leads to more creativity and innovation. So it's something that's good for us. It's not just about empathy. It's not just about justice. It's also about high productivity and excellence.
Thanks to Professor Mana for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe. An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.